This is the October 29th meeting of the PNB Strategic Planning Working Group. I'm George Ryder. I'm the co-chair. Let's just go around and announce who's here. We don't have any quorum requirement, but so if you would just call out your name one at a time, if you could arrange that.
Well, alphabetically, I probably am first. This is Teresa Allen.
Okay, Teresa.
I'm Jim Brown.
Excellent.
Jim Brown?
Yep.
Robert Mark?
Robert Mark. And myself. Anybody else?
Jose.
Jose. Janice. Anybody else? Okay, now, I just found out that
One quick thing. Benito just had some minor surgery today, and he may or may not be on the call.
Okay. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine.
Let's see. Teresa, Jose, and Janice, did you get the email I sent with the attachments that had the draft, the revised draft strategic plan, and also the suggested policy for underwriting? We sent that at 4 o'clock Central Time.
And it came back home?
It came to everybody on the list, everybody on the PNB, but I sent it through through the Otis's lists, and he just told me they aren't really working.
If you don't mind, please send it to me again.
I will do that. Janice, did you say you got it?
Yes.
And Jose, Luis, did you not get it?
You know, I didn't see it, but that doesn't mean I didn't get it. At 4 p.m. today?
Yeah.
No.
That would be said. So it would be, 2 o'clock your time?
Oh. Nope.
Okay, I'll send it again.
Have we been sent, like, an agenda of specifically what we're going to discuss and kind of a time?
Well, that was in the thing I sent, but it's okay. Also on KPFTX
right.
At the moment. But
I hope you voted, George.
I'm going to vote tomorrow.
I'm working early voting in Houston while we're waiting on this. I'm working early voting, and so many people are coming in and saying, I want to know about the bathroom bill. I want to vote on that. And it's the
really
Houston
sad.
Equal Rights Ordinance, which the religious right has said, well, you know, you don't want a transgendered person in the bathroom, you know, violating your wife. You know, they're protecting the women, you know, and
right.
Completely forgetting about equal rights. The women, blacks, you know, because of race, veterans, everybody covered in bid.
What are we voting for?
Horrible, horrible, horrible.
What are we voting for?
It is a equal rights ordinance in Houston. These people don't even live in Houston, so they're just, but they're all revved up because they've been getting robocalls and their ministers are telling them to vote against it.
The other thing you can't argue in polite society is, like, some pervert is going to go have his penis removed so he can go in the ladies' bathroom. What's he going to do without his penis? I mean, who do they think would go that far to be in the ladies' bathroom?
I guess they think guys who were still guys who just dress up as women for the purpose of doing that, even though that's never happened. But it was a wonderful strategy on their part. I mean, just you know, as usual, they try to manipulate fear, and so they found a hook. You know, basically,
very
that's
must be. Very effective.
You should all have it by now. Do you?
No. I'm requesting my incoming. But don't let me stop you. Go ahead and do what you need to do. I can go on KPFTX and find it. So.
Well, that's what's there is just the agenda. So it was sent, and it was sent to you all, and it was sent a few minutes ago. So refresh your inbox and see if you get it. In the meantime, let me tell you what's there. There are two attachments. One is draft-1, which is a revision of draft-0, which I sent around a while back, to include essentially everything that we discussed at the last meeting, which... For people who are listening on the stream, and actually let me one of the things we'll focus on tonight was the suggestion that we should actually have some form of underwriting, and John Prophet, who was on the call. And would have been on tonight had the list been working, suggested we call it community partnership, which is a more accurate version of what it is. And so there's another attachment which describes essentially a suggestion for how we should do that, for what kind of restrictions on who we'll take as that we're willing to have underwrite. That's part of the new draft agenda, is that there will be such a, it's called Develop a Mission Compliant Community Partnership Program. And the other attachment is what is intended to be, basically the guidelines for that program. Now, has anybody got it yet?
Yep, I have it, George.
Excellent, excellent. So, it's presumably on the way. Let me say what's in it. I'll give you all a chance to read it.
I got something from Bob Mark, so I got it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. The suggestion was from our last conversation in this working group that we limit the people we're willing to have underwrite to nonprofits. That's for the network, for our five stations. I had a conversation with Ursula about whether or not the proposal she has, which basically is to have us function as brokers for the affiliates program, and we would get essentially a cut of that in return for giving people who wanted to reach the affiliates a way to do that and not have to do it one at a time. And she said, I asked her whether that would work if it was only nonprofits, and she didn't think so. I've also put in there that we should sign on to that program for the affiliates, where they would be allowed to, and we couldn't stop them anyway, but they would be allowed to take underwriting from people from companies that were for profit. But the stations wouldn't have to do that. But essentially, the way it would work is there'd be somewhere in the network there'd be an inquiry for some organization that wants to do underwriting, that wants to become a community partner, and send us the money for the ability to be recognized on the air as such, as a community partner. And then that would, essentially, those who wanted to sign on to it would sign on. And if it was a nonprofit, then the network could sign on as well. If not, then it would be just the affiliates doing that. And the we could do our own developing of and even on a station by station basis. So it doesn't preclude us doing generating community partnerships on our own. And there was a suggestion that we should actively do that. That where we have development people in place as a KPFT, they should actively go out and find people who are, you know, already, probably to begin with, already using the station for PSAs, for their you know, when they have events, they have a guest come on and talk about the events. Some of them actually have, you know, programs on our station. You know, encourage them to become sustainers. Supporters. And there was also this suggestion last time that what that would mean is you basically get your name announced on the air and a short statement of what kind of service you provide, but it would not be a commercial for the company. Even if it's nonprofit, it wouldn't be, you know, these one-minute things that extol the virtues. And anyway, so that was what the suggestions were last time. The sense was we needed to write it all down and get it out in front so that we could decide, have a decision at this meeting, whether we wanted to include it, want to modify it, what we wanted to do with that proposal. So that's where it's at, and that proposal is what's in front of you. And that's what I would like to discuss, and just get your sense of whether, you know, it's adequate, whether more needs to be added, whether there are things in it which you don't want to see.
So Jose Luis for the stack.
Good discussion. Go ahead, Jose Luis.
So you know, the first thing, this is great stuff, George. Thank you for putting all this together. And I haven't been on all the calls. So I like this document, you know, but the first thing that jumped out at me, and I think, you know, we should recommend to the PMB, or we should have a discussion about this, is people that sue us. You know, I don't see people that sue us when we're in such a bad state on the ground hemorrhaging as friends. And you know, it's just, I see this FSRN stuff. Like, to me, they're not our friends. You know, these people have sued us, and it's just, you know, we're at the point where we have to really consider selling buildings and selling and doing swaps or something with WBAI in order to pay FSRN. So, you know, having them come back, there's a bunch of other groups that do great work, too. That so that's one thing of FSRN. As to the underwriting, you know, I do think we need to have a serious conversation of underwriting, especially down in Los Angeles, where all the stations, but where we're approving more Spanish language programming. I think it's a great direction in California and perhaps for Houston, you know, to tap into the Spanish market. But my concerns, as I voiced at the PMB in-person meeting when I voted yes for this, was, can we generate revenue from Spanish broadcasting? And I think that underwriting would benefit them in terms of having these buddies giving us money and so forth. But the concern I have, and we have to explore, I think, at least Tony, myself, and Bob Marks, and Kriegler, and anybody else, is the possibility of being sued by, whether it be these corporate underwriters, if the affiliates go and do corporate underwriting, and then they either, depending on what the language of those contracts are, and we're dealing with big players, corporations, and if people like FSRN will sue us, definitely the big corporations who are giving money to the affiliates will sue us if we don't fulfill the underwriting, and if the underwriting is such that, you know, KPFT or KPFA or KPFK has to also say something about the underwriting to make it viable, then we're on the hook. So those contracts need to be scrutinized to make sure that there's firewalls and we don't get sued by these underwriters.
I hear you. Let me respond to the first question first, and then the second one. Concern, really. Yeah, FSRN was put in there because I had a conversation with John Proffitt, in which we had decided, and there was a clear consensus that it was really a good idea to have a news presence, a national news service that would. We used to have it. FSRN was sort of the rump of that got reconstituted, and we were working with them for quite a while. And then I don't want to comment on the reasons for the lawsuit, but then we got into trouble with them, and we have a lawsuit. So I'm quite happy to just take that out of the draft agenda. My own feeling about it was that these are actually old friends, and that kind of network, that kind of idea, was probably how we would be able to actually do national news at a reasonable cost. But I don't have anything vested in keeping that in there. And as I say, that wasn't really the rest of the organization, the rest of the group last time didn't have an interest in keeping that there either. It was my sort of addition. As far as the underwriting is concerned, my sense of it's not completely clear in the way I wrote it, but that we're not going to be part of any particular that the underwriting that the for the affiliates and brokering the underwriting for the affiliates. I hear you. I mean, we there's clearly some legal risk in that. But the way it's set up is that we don't have to accept any underwriting
affiliates take.
The affiliates would take. So what I hear is a possibility that they would take something from some company or other that isn't happy with the service they get from the affiliates and decides to sue us as the broker. Is that what you had in mind, Jose? And is that really a problem?
Yes. I think it's that linkage of being the broker we would have to have more or less. I mean, it depends. It's control. It's like, how much control do we have over these affiliates? We have two representatives on the PNB. That's already speaking a lot to control, having two of them in our structure already, and then we have Ursula, of course, that reports back, and what is she doing? So we have to have, and I don't know if Ursula would want that, want 22 people overseeing her or having more strict controls, or the affiliates would want that, but that's just, it's there.
Okay.
I sue corporations, and when I sue corporations, I'm looking at the control structure of these shell corporations that they form, and it becomes like, okay, well, I'm looking at the control, and how much control are they, as the courts are looking at that, how much control are they exerting over these entities, or should there have been control? And because there was no control, there's negligence because we should have known better. And so that, opens up cans of worms. So we would have to, there's definitely ways of fixing it, but it requires a lot of firewalls.
Yeah. Teresa, go ahead.
And then Janice to the stack.
And Janice.
Go ahead. Janice, I think, probably has better input than I do. Go ahead.
I'll be pretty brief and try to clarify what may, to me, what sounds like a bit of miscommunication. In the underwriting project, there is no pressure. There is no need for any station to accept the participation of underwriting if they don't want to be associated with the program. So in other words, if there are 8 organizations that are part of the program, only those who agree to accept the underwriting and air the announcements would be part of that specific agreement. And if there are stations that don't want to participate, then they're not required to. So I'm not sure that that's been made abundantly clear, and the issue regarding control still remains with the parent organization in many regards. And I would just want to also remind those on the PND board that the affiliate program continues to provide some source of revenue for the parent organization, and this is yet another opportunity where the parents do not have to activate the actions of all of the children, so to speak, in order for the parents to still receive rewards from the action of the children. Thank you.
Robert for the stack.
Robert?
Well, I think that the point is well taken. As I understand the proposal, an employee of Pacifica's is going to reach out to these donors, these benefactors, and represent that they can place their sponsorship on affiliate stations. And so then that person, when they get people to do that, then contacts the stations and says, are you in or out? And so the company that is essentially purchasing services only has Pacifica as a recourse. So I think that there is a legitimate legal concern. And first and foremost, though, the one that concerns me the most is to make absolutely sure, I don't think it needs to be in the policy, but it needs to be absolutely clear that they're selling for the service, and I hate to use such crash capitalistic terms, but that they're selling the service just for affiliate stations, and by no means are they making a promise that these things will air on our network station.
You know, I think that is actually clear, and the voluntary nature of it is also clear in the documents for the program that Ursula put together. But I think the concern, what I hear from the concern of what Jose had was, suppose that that Ursula, acting as the broker, gets a certain number of these stations say that, yeah, we'd love to air these things, and then they don't do it, or some don't do it, and the person who was doing the underwriting comes back and says, look, I gave you this money. It was supposed to be for 10 stations, and only 8 of them actually published it, you know, actually put it on the air. Give me my money back or whatever. Anyway, I have some legal claim with you. So is that the problem you had in mind, Jose? And is that a serious problem for us, for any of you who are lawyers?
George, but that's not how it works.
Okay, good. Say more.
That's not how it works. When the entity that's interested in doing underwriting is approached or approaches the parent organization, approaches Ursula, they are made aware that there are 10 stations that may have an interest in taking the underwriting, but there's no obligation for any of the stations to actually take it. And before the entity signs an agreement with Pacifica, it is informed of how many of the 10 are agreeing to place the statements on their airwaves, and that at that point the entity can decide that it doesn't want to participate because it wanted 7 instead of 5, and then there's ultimately no agreement. The final agreement is based upon the stations who are willing to participate, and if in fact the underwriter finds that to be sufficient for the messaging that they're interested in conveying.
Yeah, the thing I was concerned about was, and this may not be a real concern, because if the stations say that they want to take the underwriting, why wouldn't they put it on? They're going to get... Things do happen. And if, in fact, the deal is made for 10 stations, and 10 of them say that they're going to put it on, but only 8 of them actually do, who's at risk in that situation? Are we? I guess that was my concern. That's what I picked up from what Jose Luis was saying. And it seems to me still to be the case that even if they do agree to do it and they don't do it, then what? That's sort of my question for anybody.
So I think you hit it right on the dot, George. That is the concern, and so that Robert Marks hit it on the dot as well. And I guess what I'm saying is we can go down this road, but that means that we need to look at all the contracts and get a unified contract that has all the disclaimers. And we would have to get Kriegler involved and just do the best we can. It doesn't mean that we won't be sued, but if we are sued, the language is there, the disclosures are there, to protect Pacifica in case we have affiliates that are not doing stuff that they should be doing. And hopefully, they don't. But again, it's just, when you're in crisis or when you're up against the wall and somebody's offering you $100,000, you don't know what people will do. And of course, we have the assets, and I would go after Pacifica if I was their attorney. Because I know there's money there, or potential for money.
So what I hear you saying is we should proceed, but we should proceed carefully, and make sure that the contracts do just what you did, just what you said.
Right, and that would require a commitment from Robert Marks, myself, Tony, because we're free, but money wise. And then we would have to see what Kriegler will do, and so how much he'll charge us more, if he'll, we can do the research, figure it out. But it would require money from Kriegler. So to that extent, I think the affiliates should pony up some money so we can pay for Kriegler's time in guiding us through getting these contracts correct, and then we can launch them after we have a couple of rounds of wordsmithing.
We can go to the mechanism of doing it, but the affiliates do generate money all the time anyway. It goes into the general kitty, as I understand it.
George, may I respond?
Yeah, go ahead.
There are administrative fees related to currently existing successful joint underwriting projects, and the administrative fees are shared amongst the stations that are participating. So if the services of John Kriegler are required, if there are other administrative services necessary to put a contract in place and to maintain it, those administrative fees come off the top of the payment from the sponsor, and the remains are then divided amongst the stations who are participating. That's the method that's currently working in 16 stations in the state of Minnesota.
Okay, great. How much?
Can I ask a question of Janice?
Yeah, go ahead, Teresa. I was going to also, but go ahead.
So, Janice, let's say I have a nonprofit. Let's say it's a university, and we have a really good IT program, and I want advertisement underwriting in rural areas. And Ursula comes to me and says, I have 16 stations in rural areas that will play it. Do I pay for this before it's aired?
You pay for it after. You pay for it in advance, and then there are requirements for each station to provide affidavits showing the exact times and dates at which the announcement was aired. And in the on the occasions where the station was supposed to play it at 9:15 and it wasn't aired until 10:15, or let's say on a day for whatever reason it didn't get on the logs, then the station is required to do a makeup. And those affidavits are due to the sponsor at the end of the run.
Janice, how much money is brought in? And just say again how many stations there are up there in Minnesota.
There are 16 stations, and last year underwriting brought in approximately $300,000.
Wow.
So the $300,000 was split between, did you say 16 stations?
If not all of the stations except the buy, because the for example, the sponsor may only want it on stations that have foreign language programs. And so in that case, in this state, that would be three stations. And so they would split the purchase three ways. It depends on the nature of the program and what the underwriting, the message of the underwriter.
What was that message allowed to be? How extensive could it be? Were there any restrictions?
There are restrictions that are established before the process begins, and that's done in overall agreement with all the stations. So, for example, when this started, we all agreed that none of us would accept underwriting from alcohol stations. None of us would accept underwriting from Planned Parenthood. We spent probably 3 or 4 months going over what the bottom line would be, and where there was a common agreement about a topic that maybe 15 of us would take and one wouldn't, then it was clear that one station wouldn't participate in that buy.
And how long are the document that you have in front of you suggests that the underwriting would be just basically just an acknowledgement that we're being supported by this organization, and a very brief statement about what it does.
Correct.
Was it the same thing for you all, or could people?
Yes.
Was really, and I'm very impressed with the amount of money that was raised.
An example, we have there's a client that's been purchasing underwriting for probably 7 years, and it is aimed at the foreign language programs that have connections to Africa, and it would say something like, this program is sponsored in part by MoneyGram, sending fees and such to family members via 1-800 blah blah blah, and that ran. That agreement ran on four of the at that time 13 stations for probably 3 years.
Right.
And it was very lucrative.
That's also a commercial enterprise.
Yeah, it was a commercial enterprise, but the underwriting statement was not crafted in a commercial way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another, I think another thing which I don't see on this is government. If the government, for example, has a program that says, you know, the United States government wants to encourage people to, you know, get your vaccinations against such and such, or it, you know, or these are educational, these are calling to the attention of people, various services. I think that the United States government would pay for that.
Anybody want to speak to that?
Seems to me when I talked with Mary Oishi in KUNM that she also said that. Like, there are government institutions that would say, you know, we have a program that will help people that are disabled, or this is how you would sign up for, you know, Medicare, or this is an alert of, you know, something that, and I would think that there might be a government entity that has money to pay for those things.
Teresa, that's correct. The Department of Aging has run underwriting announcements on certain stations. There's the Department of Mental Health and something else that purchased services. That has happened.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. Are you saying, George, that this Community Partnership for Inclusion in Strategic Plan, and you said Pacifica stations would only accept underwriting from non... Are you, when you say Pacifica stations, are you talking about the network affiliates?
No. I'm thinking about the five stations in the network.
Okay, well, are we talking at all about something that we want to go to the national board about the affiliates or not?
Well, we are as well. The statement has two pieces to it.
Okay,
one is
find the other piece.
There's a clear sense on the board that we do not want to get involved in underwriting with commercial interests. I'm not sure it's a clear sense, but there's certainly a lot of opposition to that. So the proposal as it sits in front of you basically exempts us from doing that. So we're not gonna sign on to anything commercial, any business interest. We didn't actually consider, it didn't occur to me to think about government underwriting. I'd like to talk about that more. So we're going to basically opt out of those. So essentially, we won't do that. That's all. The affiliates can do it if they want, and we can broker that, but we won't do it in the network. Is that clear?
Well, I'm a little bit confused about what we're actually approving tonight. I'm looking at your two documents that I've received. One is labeled financial initiatives and structural changes, and the other one is this one that appears to only refer to our five stations. So, have you done anything about the plan for affiliate stations?
It also refers to a piece of it says that we will accept the proposal from Ursula for it's got an acronym. It's called Pacifica Network Group Underwriting. So network stations will participate in the Pacifica Network Group Underwriting Project only when the proposed underwriter is a nonprofit whose activities are consistent with the guidelines above. So we may get some underwriting through that mechanism, but only if it's nonprofit. That's the basic idea. But the proposal suggests that we ought to do that for reasons given below, which are that. The affiliates are asking us to do it. They're going to do it anyway, and it would be a service to them for us to do it, in which we could also profit from it besides, you know, helping sustain them, enabling them to sustain us. We would also develop connections with various organizations that might be useful. In any case, the proposal suggests that we will, in fact, do that. It's just it separates out the profit and the nonprofit so that the network stations won't be part of nonprofit under for-profit underwriting.
Well, I'm how do you imagine? How do you envision the PNB approving this? I mean, I'm interested in getting the affiliate underwriting program started, and I know that the vote was very close, and I know that Janice Lane Ewart wasn't there, but even still, if Janice even had been there, it was very close, and I think there are people like Lydia Brazon and
Please don't.
There were people that well, it was an open session, but I mean, people voted against it. So I'm not quite sure what our objective is specifically here.
Well, if you think it's a good idea to do this, and this working group proposes it, it will be put before the PNB in this slightly revised form, mm-hmm. which makes it clear. And it'll be voted on as part of the strategic plan. It'll either pass or it won't. I don't know, but that's what's happening right now. Is this something we want to forward to the PNB to be voted on as part of the strategic plan, or are there modifications of it? You had suggested government underwriting. It hadn't even occurred to me. And I guess my question about that is, and this is for Janice, I guess primarily, is are the messages agreed to before the contract is signed?
Or there is a template that's shared with the potential underwriter when the conversations first begin. The sponsor is made aware of what's possible and what's not possible. So, in other words, we've established over time a contract between the stations that is essentially, for lack of a better term, our playbook. And we've all come to agreement before the representative goes out and seeks underwriting. This is our playbook. And we'll accept these plays, and here's the ones that we won't accept. And there's clarity as to what's available for underwriting before the Ursula would make an approach to someone.
Has there been any problem? Well, I'm sorry, who's that?
That's a Jim. Jim Brown.
Hey, Jim.
First, Janice, I want to say that you clarified a lot of questions that I had, and I'm very glad that you're on the call tonight to say what you've said. How does stations? How do we control stations in different cities who may have some potential underwriters? How is that done?
I'm not sure I understand your question, but I'll try to approach it this way. The person who's responsible for the joint underwriting project has a list of potential clients that he or she is pursuing, and that information is shared with all of the stations in the playbook, so to speak. And in the instance where your station has an existing agreement with Canada Dry,
yeah,
then the person, Ursula, would be aware that there's an existing relationship and there'd have to be an agreement whether or not the Ursula would approach Canada Dry for a greater representation of underwriting on other stations. And the station, your station, would have to say, no, I established this relationship years ago, and it's exclusive to my station, and there's an agreement amongst all the other stations that those existing relationships be made known, and that unless there's a change from the station, that those entities are not open or available for further solicitation by the underwriting representative.
I see. So that client would remain with that one station and would not get the benefit of the other stations.
That's correct. If the station has declared that one's not available for the joint underwriting project. By the same token, if there is an entity for which you had some relationship and you brought it to the table for a potentially joint underwriting project, your station would receive what's called a finder's fee. And after the administrative costs are established, your station would then receive a bonus of $200 in addition to the amount that's paid for the joint underwriting process.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else want to speak to any of the issues raised around
Yeah, George. Jose Luis again. And this goes to this issue of centralized accounting process. And, decentralized accounting process for greater efficiency and transparency. So, I don't think at this point we should have this in the strategic planning because it is not clear from me that this is necessary or that it's wise to implement at this stage. I'm on the audit committee as well, and we've spoken with the auditors, and they suggested that there's different nonprofits that do things differently, like ourselves, that each individual station does their own, controls their own banking and so forth, and then we centralize everything when audits come around. And they work perfectly fine, big corporations doing, nonprofits doing this, bigger scales of money than us. So we're not alone in doing this. Centralization, likewise, is another option. And I don't dispute some of these efficiencies and so forth, but I just don't think that is a wise thing to do. For us, in particular, given the drama that we'll discuss in a few minutes, with Bequest and so forth, it's just, it's a big brother superstructure that will start sucking up everybody's money it's just not a good idea at this point.
Let me respond to that in a moment, but I want to see if there's any objection to going forward with a community partnership proposal for inclusion in strategic plan as it stands. Is there anybody who wants to say anything more about that? And then let me get to what's actually the first line in the strategic plan. Okay, well, hearing none, let me respond.
I'm sorry, even though it's probably opening Pandora's box, you're talking about whether we should include the underwriting in the plan or not. Is that what you're saying?
We had decided to include the underwriting in the plan last time. The question was, is the specific proposal, the community partnership proposal for inclusion in strategic plan, is that satisfactory? Are there things you would like to change or tweak in there and make it better?
And when you say community partnership, you mean the underwriting plan?
Yes.
Okay. I am for it, but I think it would be appropriate to get it approved for the affiliates first, and I do think that we should include
What do you mean by approved for the affiliates?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean by approved for the affiliates?
I think that the PNB needs to approve that we can start the underwriting project for the affiliate programs first.
Well, we could break that out and when we present it as a separate issue. Clearly, we can approve it in pieces.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that we should say that we should include government underwriting if governments have something to say. And I hope that everyone here is prepared to talk to people at their station to answer those questions, because I think that, I mean, I'd like to know specifically, other than slippery slope, what the arguments are, so we can actually address them rather than just going to the vote and then having people vote no.
Let me ask the rest of you here, what do you think about government underwriting? Is this something we should include or not? I mean, given all the constraints that you've already heard as to what can possibly be in a playbook.
Yeah, Jose,
I have no problem with it as long as it's not military.
Really? Jose Luis?
Yeah, I'm with Robert Marks on this. I mean, to the extent we're trying to get CPB money, we're already down that slope.
Okay. Any objection to it? Okay, hearing that, I'll put that in as an additional category of things that we can do. Let me respond to Jose Luis's comment. The very first line says, centralize the accounting process for greater efficiency and transparency and implement the changes and procedures suggested by the auditors. What I had in mind there was based on a conversation with John Proffitt just yesterday, I think. Actually, Tuesday. And what he said was that we have separate accounts at the stations. There are, in fact, 20 different accounts. And that many of those accounts are not transparent to the CFO. He can't see them, although he's officially entitled to, you know, take money out of them if he wants to, but they're not... If he wants to find out quickly how things are going, he can't do it because he has no access to them. And my understanding is that some of them are things that are not in Great Plains at all. And John's suggestion was that there be at every station an individual bank account, you know, where you can go down the block and put a check in and you have some relationship with the people there, as well as a centralized account, and that the CFO would have access to all of that. That seemed like a good idea to me, independent of what's going to happen this evening. Knowing where your money is and having the CFO know where the money is seems like a good idea. So that was what I had in mind. It's not very specific, I don't even know what all the changes that the auditors suggested were. I just figured they were probably a good thing. Perhaps they're not. So anyway, I would like to leave in, again, really on John's say-so, that this is probably a better way to run the organization. And I would make it specific that it would be essentially streamlined so that along the lines that I just said, where each station would have an individual bank account, as well as there being a national account, but the CFO would have access to whatever's there. So, how do you feel about that, Jose? Please.
Well, I mean, those are two different things. If the CFO is having trouble with the station, then that's a management issue that the ED or interim ED needs to deal with, and or the LSBs and PMB need to deal with by doing disciplinary action. If it's not, you know, if they're not disclosing all these bank accounts and so forth. But I'm not. But the way it's this decentralized accounting process. You know, the way it has, and the way it was going 2 years ago was to centralize all the bank accounts into Bank of America, and Bank of America would be our corporate bank that all accounts would be there. controlled by the CFO and not the station. So the central office would have it and would get rid of all these different accounts. So that's how the centralized service was being developed, and a stop was put to that because there was revolts among some of the stations, we need to change that because that's the thinking behind the centralized accounting process, which we have, I guess, with the Great Plains, and just people aren't using it, like WBAI. I don't think we needed it in the strategic planning. I think we need it more in policy and getting, getting our IED to start doing disciplinary actions again, people who aren't, doing their job.
Let me just see if anyone else wants to speak to it. I'm not averse to taking it out.
George, I'd like to speak to it just by way of background.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that I actually am the author of this movement because I made some statements several months ago in response to the inability of our employees to reconcile those 20 bank accounts monthly and get the information into Great Plains, which is what holds up our audit. Before we can even start putting information into Great Plains, they have to reconcile bank accounts, which they're not doing. So at the end of the fiscal year, they're doing 12 months worth of reconciliation. And then they're putting the data into Great Plains that, as it was pointed out, some people are doing with Quicken. And so it was my thought that centralized bookkeeping meant we are unable at each station to hire competent CFOs who can get this work done, and that we could just simply have people at the national office do this work by simply having, I didn't even think about confining bank accounts. I was just thinking that, on a regular basis, several times a week, invoices and copies of checks and some kind of approval form would be scanned and sent to the central office for them to immediately start doing entry into Great Plains, and bank statements and checks would similarly be sent there, and they could monthly do the reconciliation so that when it came the end of the fiscal year, we were ready to have the auditors come in and start the audit. I never intended for it to be combining all the bank accounts into one bank account, nor did I intend for it to be that the CFO would have absolute authority over removing money from those bank accounts. I just thought that if it could get the skilled people in Berkeley, we wouldn't need to have skilled people out in the field. All we would need to do is have someone who was competent enough to make sure that the authority was given to pay the invoice by, I assume, the general manager. And then they could, they were competent to scan the paperwork and send it to Berkeley. And that we could then save a little money at the stations and spend a little more money having more people at central office getting the work done. And that's the background. And I think that, Adriana Castaneda overheard me talking about this, and she got on that bandwagon. But that was my original intent, was to just make sure that we got our reconciliations done and the data in a timely fashion.
Adriana here?
Oh, Adriana, welcome.
Yes. Well, the problem is that I'm still not having an agenda or anything. I don't know why, but I'm still checking. And every time that I was trying to get in, I was cut out. Robert, it's true that you start talking about that. The only thing that they did is follow up in your idea. I never said, and every time that I talk about the issue, I always give you the original idea. And the only thing that I did in the strategic planning since the beginning was recommending exactly the central accounting. But don't worry, I give you from the beginning, I told that to everybody, I agree with you, that was a great idea. I mean, don't worry. I don't want to to have the, you know, give the idea that it just was my invention. It's true, the two of us were talking about that, and I just mentioned it to the strategic planning. That was the whole thing, okay? I give you the whole credit. But I'm still thinking, George, that we should receive the agendas in this meeting, and only we are only now that I can come in, we are only three people that were during all this time in the strategic planning. You, Jim Brown, and me.
Yeah. Oh, actually, there are eight people on the call.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, but the three of us are the only ones that are in all the other calls from the strategic planning. I mean, the other five people I just came today, maybe they were interested in the agenda, but, you know, I didn't receive it. Having the agenda.
People didn't get an agenda because the listservs didn't work, and I didn't know it, because I actually got the message I put on the listserv.
I'm sorry, George. I think that you told us that in the last meeting, too. We knew that the listserv wasn't working. But how can some people receive it? You said that Robert, Mark received it, Jose Luis received it now. How they receive it?
It's on KPFTX, to the extent that there is an agenda. And I sent it to them in detail, and I will send you, I will forward you the email with the attachments.
And Jose Luis for the stack here.
Yeah, go ahead, Jose Luis.
So, you know, to move us forward on this line item, I would be comfortable in sending this to the Finance Committee, who has the LSB's finance chair on there to get their input on this, and I think what Robert Mark said is very concerning, and I understand a little bit more now what's happening, and see if the Finance Committee can address Robert's concerns, because, I mean, it's my concern as well. I think, why do you need 20 accounts in one station? And it's just creating more work at the end of the year when we need to do the audits. But I think the body that should be giving us, at least helping us refine this, I think it should be in the strategic planning now, thinking about it, but we should get some input from the Finance Committee and have them take it up.
I'll do that. I'll write up this discussion, basically, what the issue was, and I'll send it to Brian and ask him to get a recommendation back to us.
This is Jim.
Jim?
I think the most important thing to do for the Finance Committee would be for us to ask them to work out a procedure whereby what Robert was talking about can happen. Because I think with the technology we have, there should be a way to make it happen.
Yes. Not necessarily, for instance, get rid of all 20, not all of them, but get rid of the multiple things, but somehow work around that so that on a timely basis, the financial information will get to the national office doing things like sending in CPD reports, for instance.
Yeah.
Is that what you're suggesting, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay. I will include that possibility. How about any other elements of the draft strategic plan that you want to speak to?
George, this is Janice, and I just want to go on the record as saying that the issue with the bank accounts needs to be streamlined, not only for transparency, but also for financial management. It's ridiculous that there are extreme costs related to banking that are not, those funds are not being used to support the stations in a more efficient manner. So I'm in accordance with aspect with this part of the conversation.
Got it. Okay. Any other thoughts about the draft strategic plan? Okay. I'm going to send this to the Finance Committee. I'm going to shop it around some. I think it's important that people, before we have a meeting on it, even have had some chance to discuss it and think about it. I guess I would like to have another meeting on, let's say, how about Thursday, November 12th? Is there anyone can't make it then?
Does KPFTX say there's anything planned on that date?
Nothing. Why I chose it. There's nothing planned there now. Okay, well, hearing no objection, I will schedule it for that.
The question, Justice Benito.
Benito, hi.
Yeah, I wasn't able. I'm having computer problems and didn't finally got on. I'm just wondering, 12 is which Thursday of the month?
The 12th is a Thursday, that's right.
It's Thursday.
Right.
Which Thursday?
Oh, it's the second Thursday, sorry.
Oh, the... All right, so the LLP meeting. All right. Fine.
Okay. Okay, I'll get back with you all before then about what, if I can, about what comes back from the Finance Committee. And it's possible... I'll speak with Lydia about it, and we might want to make that as essentially an introductory presentation to the PNB, I'd like to defer that decision until after I had a chance to talk with her about that. That being said, thank you all for your participation. Benito, I will send you again the attachments that actually had to send them out individually to everybody anyway. I'll send it to you again. It'll presumably get there at some point.
I don't even know what I may or may not have received. I can't get access. The Windows playing.
Is that going to be true for a while? I could mail it to you.
No, I don't know. No, but just go ahead and email it. I don't know what the hell's going on. But apparently, Windows 10 is turning out to be a real problem for folks.
Okay. Well, then the meeting's adjourned. Thank you all for your committed participation.
George,
and
thank you,
George. Yeah. Goodbye.
Be sure that you send it to me, too. Thank you.
Sent it already. Should have it. Okay.
Okay.